afternoon, everyone. We call to order the meeting of the Fire Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District this Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, at 3:00 PM.
Commissioner.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Commissioner Martin?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Leonard? Commissioner Leonard?
Yes, present.
Commissioner Clasby?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Johnson?
Present.
Stand for the invocation. Chief Walker, please.
It'll be Chief Wilson today.
No problem.
Let's all bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for guiding us and leading us, the St. Lucie County Fire District. Please watch over our crews that are out there responding to emergency incidents on the streets. And please also watch over our family and friends and community that are here today. And also, please watch over the Fire Board. Help them make good decisions. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before I move forward, I'm going to turn it over to our attorney, Ms. Sable.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. We have a preliminary procedural matter to address. Commissioner Lender has requested to appear and vote at today's regularly scheduled board meeting telephonically due to a conflict. I want to advise you of the procedural requirements under Florida's government and the Sunshine Law regarding electronic participation by an absent member. Under Florida's government, the Sunshine Law, and longstanding Attorney General opinions, electronic participation by an absent member is generally permitted if the following conditions are met. The first condition is that you must have a physical quorum present, and we do have a physical quorum present. The second condition is that members appearing telephonically do not count toward establishing this quorum, and we would not. The third hurdle is extraordinary circumstances. The Attorney General has consistently advised that telephonic participation should be reserved for extraordinary circumstances, such as serious illness, medical treatment, or physical disability that prevents the member from attending in person. I turn your attention to AG Opinion 2003-41, which has been provided to you, which states, "It is my opinion that where a rule or statute contemplates that a meeting will be held in a public place with the members physically present, the participation of an absent member in the meeting by telephone conference should be permitted only in extraordinary circumstances and when a quorum is physically present. Whether the absence of a member due to a scheduling conflict constitutes such circumstances is a determination that must be made in the good judgment of this board. A speakerphone or similar equipment must be available and those arrangements are in place. And we have to ensure that the district-specific enabling legislation or internal bylaws do not expressly prohibit remote participation, which they do not. To promote transparency and avoid potential challenges, Commissioner Leonard would be given the opportunity to state his case of extraordinary circumstances verbally on the record, and then the board would vote.
Thank you. Commissioner Leonard?
Try to give it a minute.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't hear anything. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I can't hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, I was breaking in and out. And I appreciate you sending me that information via email that you just spoke about. I would request of the board, unfortunately, I had meetings out here in California. I could not change the dates on. It's not like I went to Georgia with my family for a vacation on spring break. I'm in meetings all week long. I definitely want to be part of this meeting. If it's the will of the board, I would appreciate the consent moving forward if I could do this electronically, and I ask for your approval.
Thank you. What is the will of the board?
I'd motion to allow them to participate in the meeting.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. All right, we're moving on to proclamations and special presentations. Okay. Commendations?
Just a few that are on the board. Okay.
Approval of fire board meeting minutes from the regular meeting of February 25th, 2026.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Additions and deletions on the agenda. Does anyone have any additions or deletions?
Move approval of the agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. A motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Approval of consent agenda.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, before we go on to public comments, good afternoon. Before we proceed to the public comment portion of this afternoon's meeting, I would like to read the following statement regarding our procedures for public participation. This board values the input of community members, residents, firefighters, retirees, and all stakeholders. Public comment is an important opportunity for you to share perspectives on matters within the jurisdiction of this fire district. To ensure an orderly, respectful, and efficient meeting for everyone, comments must be directed to the board as a whole and should relate to the business or operations of the district. Any personal attacks, threats, profanity, or disruptive behavior will not be tolerated and may result in the speaker being asked to conclude or, if necessary, removed from the meeting. Each speaker will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board. I'd ask that you please adhere to the time limit so that as many people as possible could have the opportunity to speak. Speakers are asked to state their name and, if relevant, their affiliation with the district, such as a current or retired firefighter, resident, etc., from the record. The board will listen attentively but will not engage in dialogue, debate, or respond to comments during this period, as this is not a question and answer session. Any matters requiring board action or follow-up will be considered through the appropriate processes. If you have written materials or supporting documents, please provide copies to the board secretary or clerk for inclusion in the record. We ask that everyone maintain civility and respect for one another and the board. Violations of these guidelines may result in the chair limiting or ending the speaker's time. With that, we'll now open the public comment period. We will take speakers as they are recognized. Thank you for your participation and for your continued support of our district. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Captain Kozak, Santa County Fire District. Mine is more of a recognition today. Over the last several years, since I've been in the training division, we've one of the biggest things that's most difficult for us to accomplish is extrication training, cutting on cars, getting out to the junkyards. We've had some relationships in the past, but we've actually worked out a really good relationship with Uncle Tony's, which is up on US 1. Over the last several years, they've been help us out on anything that's going on. New hires, classes that we've put on. We just actually last week wrapped up with a 5-day class or 4-day class, which is a VMR class, vehicle mechanical rescue, where we're out at the junkyard for all day long each day for several days. And Uncle Tony's business over there has been graciously accepts us in the fire districts, helps us out, gets us a lot of this world life experience and into vehicles that we normally would not be able to get to train on. So today we have a plaque here, and I have Jared, who's basically our man in contact over at Uncle Tony. So I just want to give some recognition to the organization over there. They're commitment and what they're doing and helping us out is something that's, you know, second-handed. And without Jared and his crew out there, nothing gets anything. Every time we're on the junkyard, I will say that everybody there is probably the most polite people I've ever met. It's great over there. No matter what we need, they're there helping out in the mornings. I'm there at 8 o'clock. He's got guys out there, cars, helping us out. At the end of the day, the same thing. So I really appreciate it. And with that, it just says here, real quick, thank you for your participation, Uncle Tony, as you pull it, for your ongoing support and collaboration and providing real-world extrication training appropriate for the firefighters of the St. Lucie County Fire District. Your generosity directly contributes to the firefighter safety and to better the outcome within and for our community that we serve. So with that, I'd like to thank Jared.
Thank you.
Probably everybody is in here with the fire department. It's been some time out there at the junkyard. So, Jared, if you'd like to say anything.
Thank you very much for this. As always, I love having you guys out there. It's an absolute pleasure when you come out. I enjoy working with you guys in this relationship, and you are always welcome.
All right.
Whenever you need.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Any other public comment?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Chief Lee. My name is Gabby Rothman, and I'm a St. Lucie County resident, long-term St. Lucie County resident. And so many of you all know me at many meetings I attend, and I try to attend as many as I can. And when I can't, I can watch them online. So today I want to start by recognizing the importance of the work that this board has done. Fire protection, emergency response, public safety are the our core services, and the public has a strong interest in how decisions are made. I stand before you today, St. Lucie County Fire District, and ask you to begin recording and publishing videos of all board meetings. While I understand the Florida law requires open meetings and published minutes, the current standard across public agencies has evolved well beyond minimal compliance. Many local governments now provide live streams and recorded archives to ensure residents who cannot attend in person, and I do that quite often. This is not simply about transparency, but about public trust and accessibility. In 26, the cost and technology barriers to record meetings are minimal. Implementing a basic recording and posting system would significantly improve public engagement and little operational burden. I would appreciate it if the board would consider live streaming meetings when feasible, posting full video recordings within a reasonable timeline. This is a straightforward step that aligns with best practices in public service and demonstrates a commitment to openness. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Comment from union representative.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Everything is working forward with us for negotiations this year. Chief Lee will find out that I just scheduled with his assistant for next week to sit down for a labor management meeting, kind of lay the groundwork out, and my board is excited to move forward with it. So it's kind of the status what we're looking forward to. But appreciate you for all your time and your efforts. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Moving on to new business. First item is project agreement for the Logistics North Building site work.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Before you have a project agreement request from the for the St. Lucie County Fire District's logistics building site work portion. In fiscal year 25-26, the district identified the need to construct the Logistics North Building to expand operational support, storage capacity, and enhance logistical readiness for current and future fire district needs, including the ability for a facility to serve as a backup fleet, shop, building, maintenance facility during emergencies. The project was approved at the June 7th, 2026 Fire Board meeting. However, the approval did not include the site and civil portion of the work scope. The fire district has entered into a project agreement with Paul Jackman and Sons, Inc. to serve as the construction manager at risk for the Logistics North building site work project. The submitted project agreement establishes a guaranteed maximum price of $496,410.76 for the construction of the Logistics North site building and civil work portion. The previous actions are there for you to review along with the financial impact. Staff recommends the approval of the project agreement, St. Lucie County Fire District Logistics North building site work with a guaranteed maximum price not to exceed $496,410.76 to be in accordance with the fire district's purchasing manual and master agreement with Paul Jackman and Sons, Inc. for construction manager at risk services. The approval is contingent upon the continued use of owner direct purchases for eligible materials and equipment as required by the fire district's procurement policy to maximize cost savings and applicable tax savings and exemptions.
Done?
Yes, sorry. Long-winded, sorry.
Comments or questions? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to the next item, Fire Chief's Employment Agreement. Ms. Abel.
Thank you. Members of the board and board chair, the proposed contract has been negotiated with the fire board chair, and therefore this fire chief employment agreement is being submitted as an action item on this month's agenda. The term of the agreement is for a period of 3 years commencing May 1st, 2026 and terminating on April 30th, 2029. The agreement shall automatically renew for an additional 3-year term unless either party provides written notice of termination or intent to renegotiate at least 90 days prior to the expiration. The agreement provides an annual base salary with no increase from today's base salary, along with appropriate stipends, vacation, longevity pay, sick leave, back. The fire chief has concluded participation in the fire district's pension and drop programs. Therefore, in lieu of a continued pension accrual, the fire district shall contribute to a qualified deferred compensation plan, such as a 457B, at the standard IRS limit not to exceed 15% of the fire chief's base salary. This agreement also provides for post-retirement insurance coverage for health, dental, vision, and life, and provides an annual salary increase of $2,500 for each of the following certifications if maintained: Chief Fire Officer Certification, Certified District Manager Certification, and both of those current benefits certifications have been obtained. District staff recommends approval of the Fire Chief Employment Agreement. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you. Any questions for? Is there a motion?
I'd like to have a discussion first, please. Madam Chair.
Hold on a second. I have Commissioner Plasby in first.
Commissioner can go first.
Okay. Commissioner Leonard, go ahead.
I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. You know, from our original discussion, my position on the extension of Chief Sleet's contract has not changed, and the manner in which the discussion has been scheduled has only reinforced my conviction the additional deliberation, not less, is what this decision requires. When a question of Chief Sleet's extension was raised previously, this board recognized the need for additional deliberation. There was a shared understanding that a decision of the magnitude warranted the time, conversation, and full participation of every commissioner before moving forward. Commissioner Johnson and I called for strategic planning session precisely because we believed it would provide the appropriate forum for that kind of substantive discussion, a space to consider not only the terms of an extension, but the broader question of leadership succession and the long-term direction. Instead, the planning session has been moved to after this vote, and this extension is being advanced without the full board present. The deliberation was agreed upon has not taken place. The retreat was intended to provide space for exactly this conversation. My position has not changed. I would love to give Chief Lee 2 years, not three. And that is where I stand.
Thank you very much.
So I would like to see this delayed at least 1 month. I had a conversation with Catherine Barbieri today. The matter that she's handling is only about 75 to 80% complete, and they hope to have a report back by prior to the next fire board meeting. I think it's pertinent for this board to at least, whatever that report says, to look at it before we make a full decision. I'm not saying there's any wrongdoing in there. I have no idea. But, I think we owe it to taxpayers at this point to let that report finish, which it should be by before the start of next meeting.
Madam Chair,
yes.
What is she doing?
What report?
Okay, so maybe the whole fire board does not know. Chief Lee, could you please give us let the fire board know what's going on?
I think Ms. Sandwich.
Oh, I thought you were talking to, she was looking at his contract.
Nope.
And giving a report.
No, there's.
I do know.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, I'm just saying, I think that it would warrant to wait at least 1 month. They'll push us to April 15th, and the contract's good until May 1st. So that would put us in a time frame that we could still move forwards. However, we would also have full information. Not sure the dollar amount of that report, but I feel like it's pretty hefty. Lawyers aren't cheap. So I just feel it's our fiduciary responsibility to allow that to complete before we make a decision.
We do have comments, Mayor.
So I'm ready to vote today. I'm not sure that that report will change my mind. I understand I've heard what Commissioner Leonard has said, and I know how he feels. I'm just ready to vote today on the contract for 3 years.
Okay. No comments? Commissioner Morgan?
I'm in agreement with Mayor Hudson. The whole, we need to get it done. It should have been done months ago. There's also the part in there that provides for written notice of termination 90 days prior. So if anything was to come out, I'm ready to vote today instead of keep it going and going. And I have absolute faith in moving forward with this.
I'd like to remind the board that whether it be the chief's contract or the other two executives that we employ, that at all times they're at will contracts. And so I'm going to let the rest of the commissioners speak. But I also want to state that Vicki has tried very diligently over the past several months to get a strategic planning session or whatever special meeting that the board wanted to have with regard to the future of succession planning. And as a result of not being able to get a different date due to all of our very heavy schedules, we decided the best thing to do was to have the meeting on the same day when we're all together for most meetings. We could not do it earlier because there was a very, very special award ceremony today for Sergeant Eric Levasseur, who received the Purple Heart for his substantial injuries in the line of duty in December. And that was paramount to make sure that Councilwoman Morgan and I and others could attend that very important ceremony today. So again, we decided to hold it after, since we were all here. And I'm gonna remind everyone again with regard to that, that succession planning in the organization, while the board is good to get information and have an idea of what's going on for the future, succession planning for the organization rests with the administration of this fire district and has always rested with that for the future. Yes, the fire board chooses and selects a fire chief, but the succession planning rests within the administration of the fire board. And so I just want to make sure that that's clear for everyone as we go into the next meeting. I'm going to let the rest of the board provide their comments before I give my final comments on this matter.
Madam Chair, so as immediate chair, I clearly understand where you are, and I'm okay with making a decision today. I don't have a problem with that. I guess when this first came up, and it was close to the 10-year of my termination as chair, you know, I wanted to get just a perspective of where we were. At that time, there was some sentiment, and Chief was contemplating, you know, his decision to even want to go forward. And so it just prompted in my mind that I thought we as a board should just understand what's going on here. We're not out here on the day in and day out operations of this entity, but we come together as a board, and my vision, and it will happen today, this afternoon, is for us to be able to collectively sit down and understand what's going on here, have open discussion, because we are in the sunshine, about succession, have also understanding of what we're going to need to do as the fire department grows, and as a result of that, the financial challenges that we may or may not face that we need to plan for as our community grows. And so all of this was to feed into that discussion. And I don't want it misconstrued that this discussion was solely or going to be about the future of the contract or Chief Lee or anybody. I simply wanted us to have a perspective of all of the stuff that we have to make decisions on. And I'm really concerned, of course, about leadership in the future. But of course, we get that from the administration like we always have, and that will always be. I'm okay with that. But I'm also concerned financially, right? There's been discussion amongst us as a board and board members, especially when it comes around ad valorem time and rollbacks, et cetera. And I've been one that's been a proponent to say now is not the time, simply because we are growing and our costs are growing. Equipment costs more. People will cost more. There's going to be a fiscal cliff when it comes to the human capital of people that work here, because they are going to retire and they're going to cost more. So I wanted us to at least have that perspective going into this, not to say it would stop anything or that, and that's why I'm okay with the decision to move forward with that. I just wanted us to have that, and I thought it would feel good and look good that we have that discussion and then bring a contract. So that's my sentiment on this.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Fowler, do you have anything?
Thank you, Chair. You know, I'm comfortable. Very unfortunate that, you know, I am disappointed, but I understand we all have crazy schedules, families, all the things. I'm a little disappointed we couldn't get it done beforehand. But that being said, I am comfortable with making a decision on this today. Coming from a big Italian family, I was always the compromise queen, always trying to bring everyone together, and I've sat and I've listened to everyone's comments. And Commissioner Clasby, I hear where you're coming from, and I think that does have merit. However, what I see here in the contract is that it can be terminated. So if something comes back in 2 to 3 weeks that we don't like, then we have the ability to cut down, reduce, or decide not to. So I'm okay with moving this forward. You know, I do have full faith in our chief, our district attorney. But that being said, we're human and we all hold a public office and we signed up for this additional scrutiny. So this is what we signed up for. So again, good with moving forward and just putting out there that if something adverse comes from, you know, what's being done in the background, that this will need to come back for additional conversation, in my opinion.
And with that, I'm in full support of moving forward, and I also fully support our chief. That is our motion, please.
Motion to approve the contract.
Second.
Stated.
I have a Motion and a second. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Fowler?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Leonard?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Clasby?
No.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution number 794-26. Mr. Barfon?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. This officially amends the budget for the purchases that were approved at the last meeting, the bunker gear and the apparatus. So it's a housekeeping budget amendment, really. So whereas subsequent to the adoption of the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget for the St. Lucie County Fire District, staff reviewed existing vehicle and bunker gear inventories and determined critical needs, and whereas recommended purchases were approved by the Fire Board at its February 25th, 2026 board meeting, and whereas Section 189.016 Florida statutes requires the St. Lucie County Fire District to adopt a resolution to amend the budget, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District, in a meeting assembled this 18th day of March 2026, the funds are hereby amended as follows. We have an increase to the fire vehicle line of $35,454, an increase to the bunker gear line of $588,166.10, offset by a reduction in reserves of $623,620.10, so that's a net change of zero in the total general fund budget. Duly passed and adopted by the Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District this 18th day of March 2026.
Thank you. Any questions regarding the resolution? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Comments by the fire chief.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do want to thank the board. I don't take the decision today lightly. I want to thank the board for all this deliberation and concern and throughout the whole process. I've always put the fire district first, and I'm going to be so moving forward. With that, I want to thank Uncle Tony as well, but they left. But training's huge for fire service, right? So it's whenever we have partners like the Uncle Tony, it's a great thing. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Clerk Treasurer?
I just wanted to add that Chief Wilson and I recently completed our certification for the Florida Public Private Trust Association. So now we are certified members of the organization.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ms. Abel?
Nothing additional, thank you.
Board members, any comments?
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I just wanted the board to know, if you weren't already aware, I like to speak my mind. And
No, not yet.
Shocking.
And so, you know, as such, I can work with anybody, and I hold nothing against any of you for voting the other way of me and having a different opinion of me, and I hope to have the same level of respect in return.
Any other comments?
Well, I think that goes without saying, but you said it anyway, so thank you very much. Madam Chair, I went to the breakfast this morning, and we honored Firefighter Joe Brandeis. I probably didn't give him the right rank, right? So. And that was well attended, and he well deserved.
Awesome. Comments?
Yeah. Oh, so just a quick update. Everybody knows that I've been riding with the stations, and I am the white cloud.
Your trend continues.
It does.
Yes.
It does. I have not ridden with 15 yet.
I'm sure they will appreciate it.
And they're probably waiting for me. But I did ride with Station 1 twice. So the white cloud is there. But a shout out to Stations 3, 5, 10, 16, and 7 that I've ridden with recently. Also to the air medics. I did go up. And it was very interesting because today the pilot from air medics, Stan, was in attendance. He is the one that transported Sergeant Lavasser. So it was really great seeing him. Every call was canceled. We did get up in the air, got as far as Midway Road and got canceled. And the other call, we got canceled before we get out the door, which I was like, oh. But then it was like, oh, that was great. because we didn't need to do that. So a special shout out, Station 5 and also stations, I don't even remember how many stations showed up, 17, 18, 10, 12. There was a gas leak at Ravella, and it was very interesting to watch everyone in action. Not only do you save lives and put out fires, you also clamp broken gas lines. And I cannot believe what I witnessed. Kudos. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You just get such a feeling out there and showing the camaraderie and the work, and it's serious. And it just blows me away. In my next lifetime, I'm coming back as a white cloud. No, a firefighter. No. Anyway, thank you again for everything you do. Thanks.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity to share a few words. And Stephanie, yes, I'm sure at 15, they would welcome you to bring that clout there to slow things down. Those guys are extremely busy over there, and we appreciate them. But I just want to, as we probably adjourn this meeting and get ready to go into our workshop, I don't know where, if we're going to do this, if it's here or whatever, I just would challenge our commissioners to let's use this time to ask questions, to really learn. I think we are counted on by the public to make sure that not only what we do here, but also how it gets back to our communities. I didn't take to like the comments that were made earlier about Ms. Rothman, and I think we all are accustomed, because all our meetings are online and people can see them and they're archived, and we may need to really think about that, because I do know that cost is escalating. That's the one thing I really got my head around as the chair, and it's not going to stop. But the public has a perception about how we do, what we spend. They have no idea, quite frankly. All they know is they call 911 and people show up. But we know that stuff breaks, people get sick, people get injured, and we have to, you know, take on those challenges to make sure that things are manned, equipment works when it's supposed to work, and that we build fire stations in areas where we have tremendous growth going on here so that we can get our response time down. And that's how I want to use this time, to really dig into that, as well as understand who's been moved around to what, et cetera, so I have a good idea. And also, the people that are going to be retiring in the next 3 to 5 years, we got to replace them. We got to start thinking about that now. We have to hire. And it's tough out here hiring right now. So that's how I want to use it. And I just want to challenge us to, let's use that time, hour, whatever it is, to wisely. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right. Did we have any absences last month? I thought we had a full board last month.
No absences. Madam Chair, is anybody speaking? I'm sorry. It's in and out.
We were just seeing if we had any unexcused absences from the last meeting, but we had full attendance. So there's no unexcused. All right. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
I think. Commissioner Leonard, was he asking
to speak? Do you have something?
I was asking to make some comments. I'm sorry, it's cutting in and out. I apologize.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to thank the board. I want to thank the board for giving me the opportunity to be part of this meeting. Thank you for allowing me to be able to listen and to hear. As I stated before, I look forward to continuing to work with Chief Lee and the administration staff, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you for the benefit of our constituents in our county. And you're right, Commissioner Johnson, we are a growing county. We have over almost 500 firefighters, and we're gonna continue to grow, and our community has no idea what things cost. And we need to do a little bit better job at doing that. And I look forward to the admin staff working with our firefighters, creating a great culture, continuing to build on that culture. And I just wanna say thank you to everybody, and I look forward to the future.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah, could restroom break?
Yeah, restroom break, okay. And then we're gonna get right into it, because I need to leave here by 5 o'clock.
Oh, right here? Yeah, okay. I checked all my stuff. I thought we were going upstairs for some reason.
I don't understand why it doesn't always work. But you're talking about the clock, right? Or did I hear you? Oh, the camera. It has camera accessibility.
Moving.
For them and one for them. Who signs that, Mike?
Yeah. We'll scan it and.
Correct?
Yeah, that's how, absolutely how it works. And you know, we have 9 additional battalion chiefs that aren't on that graph, and you know, typically that's the, you know, I'll just call it our bench for future administration positions. You know, those are the ones that we need to start. And I've actually been talking to Chief Gonzalez about it, is getting them classes that we were never awarded, you know, are given, unless we did them ourselves. But it's something that I want to start doing for our battalion chief level.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So, Chief, thank you for that, because that was my next question. I mean, this presents what you currently have, but, you know, things happen, stuff happens.
Absolutely.
And so my question is beyond this, and you kind of answered it, I guess the battalion chiefs are kind of next up, et cetera. So it's a whole swath of them, right, that would kind of begin to call early training, et cetera, exposure, et cetera, to even determine if they want to be in leadership, right? Some people may or may not want to. And I think as we grow as an organization, our constant assessment of that is what's going to be critical. So I'm not going to put you on the spot, but how many do we have at the battalion level that could be beyond this cliff? Because you mentioned at some point we're going to have a big fall off. And so what's our pool looking like? Yeah.
So there's 9 additional battalion chiefs other than the people you see here.
Okay.
Actually, Vicki, if you go to the second to the last page and zoom in on it, you'll see that we're not. It's in your handout too.
So, okay.
You'll see there's a tier 1, tier 2, and tier in a basic field promotion. But tier 1, we have 20 plus years experience within the battalion chief role. So the 20 plus years of service, you got 6 battalion chiefs with 20 plus years of service, and they can be immediately, called up, pulled up if they so choose. And you're not wrong. You know, it's the line is a desired place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us get into the fire service for the actual rewarding part of the job, which is the,
mm-hmm.
being on the streets and being effective every day. And so it is. Hard sometimes finding those that are willing to come into administration, but they're always there. They always show themselves, and you know that's our goal at this point, is to find those future ones that,
right.
Right.
So my last follow-up quick question is, and that's the tough part, right? And then sometimes people are convinced and talked into coming into leadership, but do we do an assessment to kind of identify and or have people either raise their hand or you kind of understand maybe they want to come into leadership? Does that happen here in this culture?
Not currently in that sense. Right?
Okay.
So typically it's people you see that are taking tests that are actively promoted and come up. So you kind of see them years out.
Okay.
But yeah, you even have those that they're willing to move up, but only to about this level, right?
Okay.
When you go to the from shift work to days, the 40-hour work week, it's a little different.
Got it. Okay.
But even. There's captains, lieutenants below the battalion chiefs that maybe they're the ones looking for it. So both of those groups can take the battalion chiefs test based on different criteria.
Okay.
And so that's a whole other pool of people that if their goals are to move up in the organization, we can actually look in those areas as well.
Okay.
So does this take into account future growth of the county and the growth?
Well, not in the sense, no. So, usually when we're talking about growth, we're already talking about Station 21, 22.
Right.
And when we hire for those, we will have to start thinking about expanding our battalion level. Right now we have 4. So we're at a stage in 1 or 2 more stations where we're going to be there, where we make our division chief, who currently has several stations under his command, as well as the command of the whole shift. We do need to start looking at a different model where the division chief is just overall the entire shift and have another battalion come in and kind of spread out that span of control. So we are getting to that point. I figure 21, 22, we'll be there. So we'll have to start breaking the county up into another battalion as well.
And we're building our own training facility.
So Station 19, behind Station 19, that's right. The goal. And you'll see some of those costs coming through. It's not going to happen under my watch, but hopefully at some point in time we'll set that training facility up to where we can hire people out of high school and put them through fire college and everything else, and so we can actually hire them with zero certifications and get them there where they need to be to actually bring them on the job. So and I think that's vital moving forward when we're looking at the market that it'll be tough fighting firefighters here for years.
Oh, and won't, and you need it, the higher up you go, the more administrative skills you need. And so will that training also be inclusive of that at some point?
Or is absolutely, yeah, it is today. I mean, we have a, I don't know, who wants to talk about it? Chief Gonzalez, Chief Wilson, I talked about the company officer program and everything. Put him on the spot. He's like, zero preparation for this.
No.
Leadership. So, that's leadership.
I'll start at the top, and just for myself, since I've been here, I've only been here for 2.5 years in administration. I came from 24 in operations spot, FTC spot, and since I've been here, that you just heard me and Tim, we got FPPTA certified, so pension certified. So just putting me on that pension trust alone, it's now gave me a ton of education that I can help pass on. And previously that will say within the last year or two, we started a program that we'll start at the lieutenant level, but guys that are, in the process of getting promoted or taking promotional tests, we look at those individuals who have certain criteria, education and classes that they need to get a lieutenant. And we go after those individuals and we actually give them the opportunities to step up to a lieutenant's position over guys that, aren't really striving for that position, who could have been stepping up for that previously. So we do that all the way up into the FTO spot and the battalion chief spot. So just like he's saying, we're looking at, you know, just growing the employee over time, and it's working out really well for us.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Thank you, man.
I want to follow up to something, if I can. I'd like to see Mr. Bergeron, the financial addition to what Chief just stated, right? So we are going to probably build some more stations with an expanding of human capital, right? And that's more high-ranked officers, leadership, obviously firefighters. And I think we need to begin to get our head around this. And I'm not doing this for us. We have a misinformed public of how much it costs to run this place. And I am hell-bent on making sure that we bring them along to understand stuff's going up and we're going to have to hire these people and we got to promote people in line and they're going to get higher salaries, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, we're all facing pressures now. And if the legislature has their way, we may even be further challenged sooner than later. And so it's important that we understand that and begin to model some of this stuff so that we understand. It may be 2-5 years before it happens, but we need to understand the pathway. And that's all I'm trying to get to here. There's a human capital side of this that we need to make sure we understand if we're going to go build this station, that station. And between what you just said and the financial part of that, I think we need to get our head around that sooner than later.
I mentioned at the last board meeting that we were going to reconvene the capital improvement plan committee. And we did, I believe it was last week. I have an updated version of that. If you would like to look at that today, or if you'd like to take it with you, and then we can discuss it at the next meeting. But it's been updated. It goes out 5 years past the current year. It shows what the committed fund balance was, you know, the total project ask or need really. These are, you know, necessary items to purchase new stations, replacing failing equipment, those types of things. And then what we discussed about is, you know, identifying this station is going to be this size of station. This is how we're going to staff it. And so then identifying, you know, what's the opening date for that station? And we're going to have this type of personnel at that station. And so the the capital budget and the, or the construction budget and the general fund operating staffing budget will be in sync. We're just choosing to do the capital side first. It's easier. And that really drives a lot of the decisions other than, you know, what budgetary impacts we're going to have from the upcoming negotiations and, you know, those types of things. But we are having conversations, you know, looking out 5 years, absolutely understanding that there will be operational staffing costs associated with a lot of those decisions. But if you'd like, I can give you the, I've got hard copies, I can send you PDF. It was just finished this morning, of the five-year plan. You can look at it, have take a look at it, and then we can have another session, or I can just add it to the treasurer's report for the next meeting.
So are we gonna have a mid-budget review?
Awesome. Madam Chair, if I could jump in real quick to echo the sentiments that Commissioner Johnson said. We have kept the millage at the same since I've got on the board for 5 or 6 years now. I am getting crushed by business owners, people of the community, people that I know, as I'm sure you, each and every one of you guys are. When are we going to lower the millage? When are we going to lower tax rates? When are we going to do that? I had a half hour long meeting with the CFO for the state of Florida, and they are looking at not only cities, but special districts as well. So we are on their radar. And this is definitely something we need to look at as we move forward, because we're all going to be held accountable.
Thank you. So I think we had a conversation, I brought it up, and we talked about this once before, about the fact that we tried to go to an assessment years ago. A fire assessment.
Remember that?
On the board and remember that. And the reasons why we did not, because of all the other different things that were on the ballot with regard to the school, millage rate going up 1 mil, and sales tax and a few other things. And I think they even mentioned that it's something that we should consider looking at again and looking at that study, because the whole goal of that was to be able to do an assessment that was more equal across the board. From a residential standpoint, especially, because of the fact that there are people that don't pay any taxes at all, right? And how fair is that? Because when you pick up the phone and you dial 911, everyone gets the exact same level of service. So how fair is it that some people pay from a residential standpoint, especially, and some people don't? So. I think it's a good idea for us to revisit the assessment situation. I know the study is going to take a while, but and the idea was to be able to levy an assessment, and also that would allow us to reduce the millage rate and potentially even get to a point over time, because it would take time, to be able to just have an assessment and not have to deal with a millage rate. So if that's something the board's interested in, I think it's really valid to take a look at that again and figure out
I would agree.
Madam Chair, I know I've brought it up number of times that we need to relook at that, and it needs to be done sooner than later. And I agree, there were so many things that were going on, but when you have the amount of homes that fall under and don't pay anything to the fire district, I totally agree with that. It's time for us to look at it sooner than later. I do understand about the millage. We, of course, we're capped at 3 mils. And the reason, and I was all for reducing the millage, even if it was a tenth of a mil. However, when we had 3 fire stations coming online that needed to be built, and the hiring of staff, there was no way that we could have done that. We're in the same boat right now. I know that we're in need. I don't know where 21, 22, and 23 are going to be. I have a feeling 2 of the 3 are going to be in Port St. Lucie, if not all 3, because of the growth that's happening out there, or actually in the county. Anyway. So we have to be very careful when it comes to that, because we've got a plan for the building of these stations and the ordering of the equipment.
We also have pre-built Station 7.
Right. Well, yeah. They like their little cubby.
And to your point.
I love number 7.
And to your point.
And Commissioner Morgan, to your point, and we talked about it earlier, the public has no idea what any apparatus costs. 0. If you ask them how much an ambulance costs, I guarantee you not most of them say, I don't know, $150,000, $200,000. How much does a fire truck cost? I don't know, $300,000, $400,000. I've asked. They have no idea what the cost is of anything.
Oh, I
think we need to do a better job of doing that.
Well, I totally agree, and I think we have. And we have, over the past few years, told them, and it's not just how much they cost. It takes 18 to 24 months to get them. So that's what's very difficult. So, I mean, I know that we're all about wanting to lower taxes and the millage, but when it comes to the safety of the public, we have a job to do to provide that, and there's no way I would be for that. But I do want to look at the assessment. Mm-hmm. That is something that needs to be done sooner than later.
So can we look to re-engage the group that did it for us before, so we're not reinventing the wheel here, and perhaps do an update of that study and get the ball rolling on.
Was it Vancor?
No, it wasn't Vancor. It was someone else. I'm sure you can go back and look, and then
Adam Fetterman, I think, was part of the.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically, but I remember that. And then they came in front of us. They did the study. They did a presentation, and then of course it's something that has to go on the ballot, and there has to be education. And then to that point, here we go again with the education, because the legislature has restricted us very heavily and has made two amendments in the past years about being able to educate versus promote, right? And how we can go out into the public and talk about it. And so we have then to go out to our other partners, like the Realtors Association and the TCBA and other groups, to help educate the public because we're constrained in such a way.
Right,
with ballot measures.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I do want to share that, and I agree, educating the public about what we do here and how much things cost is extremely important. It is something that I do. I go out to the public, and I have many, many community meetings. I have one this evening, and I have a slide in it that talks about the increased cost that the city has faced. And then I go in and also talk about it from my hat here about, hey, it's not just that, you know, as your costs are increasing in your budget, the city's costs are increasing. And by the way, the fire district's costs are increasing too. And the most recent example I gave was the number of calls that have already come in, because they got the data from you, you guys, about Fire Station 20. And just how many calls already that they have dealt with in the short time that station has been open. So I do make it a point to include a slide or two about the fire district and talk about these things with all the residents. So, you know, if all of us are doing
that,
we're going out to our different groups, I think it's really helpful because we have the ability to get in front of, you know, 300 people at a time. And when I go out into the tradition area, I'm in front of 250 people at a time. And it's great. I love it because I want people to understand what's going on. But the only way that happens is if we're willing to go out in front of the public and do it. Because that's how they learn. We can have our meetings all day long, but how many people are really going to come out to the meetings? It's the same thing with our other meetings that we have on our other boards, right?
Right.
How many people come out? People come out who want to have complaints about things, and that's fine. Everyone's welcome to come. But really, you don't get a lot of participation unless there's a really controversial issue.
That's important to them.
Right, and that's
important to them, but they don't come.
The best way to get out in front of it is to go have these meetings and be in these communities and say, hey, want to come do a presentation and explain these things to you.
Yep.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You know, I'm a big fan of lowering millage rates as well. I had quite a bit of education over the last year being on the fire board. And part of it has been just kind of talking with SAP and Chief Lee and others. And, you know, I was always under the assumption that we were capped out at the millage rate 3.0. We are under our charter. However, the state of Florida and their grand wisdom at some point said the max for independent special fire districts is actually 3.75. So in reality, we're really not at the max of what it ultimately could be. However, saying that, I'm a big fan of going to the special assessment. It should be on people's bill like it is the garbage. I mean, not that we're garbage, but it shouldn't be on the tax bill. It should be on the part that's just a fee. And I think with that, you may end up capturing churches and other places that are not currently paying a fire service fee, but obviously are big potential risks for fire. And I think that that's something that definitely needs to be looked at. I don't know if that adds cost to the administration or collection of it. I have no idea, but I'm definitely interested in looking at that. And then as far as the CFO goes, I'm a very close follower of that. I've met with him multiple times. And, you know, one thing that he continues to say is that he wants to lower the taxes, but he really doesn't want to touch public safety, meaning law enforcement and fire. So those are two things that definitely we need to keep in mind. And the idea of property taxes going away does not end with the ending of Ron DeSantis' term, because Byron Donalds has spoken out in favor of this. Several of the other candidates have that have a legitimate chance of being our next governor. So we have to make sure that we're looking for alternative funding sources. And then on top of that, there's no guarantee that property values hold. You know, we may get to a point where property values go down and we end up with a roll-up rate, and I don't think anybody wants to deal with that. So I think now's the time to start looking at those different funding options as well.
So Tallahassee, they were strictly an assessment. There was assessment in 2008 when everybody else was impacted pretty harshly by the downturn in the economy. Today, Tallahassee switched. So I'm not sure, but that's definitely somebody. I don't know. I probably want to reach out to Tallahassee and find out why they went back to ad valorem instead of strictly an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Just to find out. Because it got them through the 2008 period. They were untouched for the most part, where everybody else was highly impacted. I was curious when they did switch back to the type of system. So I'm definitely going to reach out to them to find out why they switched and if they're thinking about trying to move backwards, right? So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think we should be looking at every option that we have available to us, for sure. And I think we also have to remember, too, you know, with regard to capital, what pays for stations? Impact fees, right? Well,
no, it doesn't.
Well, partially, not the full.
Doesn't cover it.
Not the full amount doesn't cover it. Because
yeah, definitely doesn't cover it.
And we learned that. But that's what you can use. You know, that's what it's for new. And, you know, ours are called immobility fees, but we took a hit this year. We projected $9 million in mobility fees, and we're only at 4.5 because our growth slowed down quite considerably. In 2024, we had 14,000 people move to the city of Port St. Lucie, and in 2025, we had 6,235. So the slowdown does affect us quite considerably in all those aspects. So we need to look at all of our options and be educated on all of our options in order to make decisions in the future. Go ahead.
I just want to comment on Tallahassee because today I was at a luncheon where Representative Robbie Brackett spoke. He represents Vero. And he was getting questions about property taxes and what the legislature is going to do. And his point of reference was Tallahassee. I pay more in Tallahassee in taxes for my 2-bedroom, 1,000-square-foot condo than I do in Vero Beach for my whatever big house he has. And then they ask about utilities. And he, again, referenced Tallahassee. So I would caution you, us, not to take that with a grain of salt, because their millage rate is nine mills or something like that. And the legislators are there and are living with city government there. And at least this one legislator was making decisions based on how horrified he was with what was happening in Tallahassee, and which we all know that what they do is they hear a horror story from some community. He referenced also Southwest Florida and said, oh no, nobody in the Treasure Coast is doing this, but over in Southwest Florida they're doing excessive charging of utility customers and excessive. So we know that they make statewide rules because of a few problem children. We know that.
Yes, we do.
Madam Chair.
Yes. And
You know, I think another thing to consider, we don't have to have just a full replacement. We could also have, a hybrid approach where, you know, maybe parts of it, the capital maybe come from these, whatever we want to do, a mixture of the two. So long as we could lower the millage rate, I think that would be great.
Commissioner Leonard, did you want to have the sentence?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Mayor Hudson, isn't it amazing that the two poorest zip codes are around Tallahassee? Figure that one out.
Yep. Didn't know that, but.
So we have consensus that we want to move forward with looking at study for our assessment.
Yeah, I think
assessment, yep.
Information and data is key. We don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. I think all of us here, most of us, were not here when you guys did this. So it'll be an education that I'm looking forward to.
And then going back to our mid-year review, we usually have a look at what's coming. Is that going to be next month or?
Yeah, so I've already started talking to staff about preparing, over 2 months covering the capital side and then the main manpower side.
And that will include, so I remember a few years ago, we did a look ahead and we were given basically a spreadsheet of this is how many this is how much rolling stock we're going to need over the next however many years. This is all the equipment we're going to need. So you can, through that mid-year review, you can give us that information.
We're Chief Boyer. He's all excited to do that presentation.
We now are planning for the next stations, and then we can get a good look-see of,
It's all that CIP that.
Okay. All right. So then in our mid-year review, why don't we have a comprehensive look at that as we're talking about the budget.
And Madam Chair, I would also like to have what you have for Station 20, the Fort Pierce stations, the busy Fort Pierce stations.
All volume. Right?
All volume. Yes, because I think that's a great educational tool. Mm-hmm. And people probably never think about that. They only think about it.
Whenever I'm there, it's.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You would send this white smoke that you bring.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway.
Cloud white smoke, yeah.
So.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so we can all see, what we're looking at.
Right.
You know, I think.
Well, I was gonna offer, we can create a report that you get every month that tells you what all the stations and what the run line is. I might get your email, but I don't want to.
Do we get that? You're saying we get that every month?
No, you don't get that. So we can do that.
Why don't we do that quarterly as opposed to monthly? Because monthly is a lot.
Everybody else puts stuff in our email.
Well,
so
it's just might as well.
I get the daily jail population.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, send that to me, James.
All right, no problem. Make sure I'm not in there.
We'll start doing that on a quarterly basis and give you the monthly run volumes.
Yeah. That would be helpful. I'd still go back to the comment that was made earlier. I think. And I talked to the chief attorney here, our deputy attorney. When we go to streaming these meetings, just like we're having conversations now, people will tune in to hear some of this stuff. And they may not, but at least it gives them an opportunity and it will be recorded and they can go back and listen to it, particularly if we direct them to say, hey, we discussed that. Go back and look at this meeting or whatever. I think that just helps us, right, to help them want to know this, because there's a certain part of our community that quite frankly won't care until somebody not show up or something happens and then we're going to have an issue. But then I think we pour into the community by doing the communication, the meetings, the transparency from meeting like this, that they can see us here and hear our concerns and even our challenges when we're offering challenge to pushing back to the ad valorem. Because I tell you, they probably don't know, Commissioner Clasby, that you're in advocating to lower it. They probably don't, but maybe they do because you're consistent in asking that. And you have been since you've been here, and I admire you for it. So that's where we are.
Madam Chair, just one other comment. I think it's really great that we can help with the education out in the public wherever we go. But we need to make sure, because I've seen it, we need to make sure that our messages are consistent the same, because I've heard, I can go somewhere and hear, oh, our population is here. And then I go to this the next day and our population grew by 20,000. And it's like, how did that happen? So message has to be consistent.
Well, also, there's another opportunity. So when we put out things on social media, we can also provide some information that way as well. Because I know we have a new PIO person, right? And I have made comments about how
in order for the public to learn more. We can be putting out more information about, did you know about this, about the fire district? Did you know? And that's also a form of education. And so I think that's a really great idea too, to put out factual information about what we do and what things are like. And then, you know, you can have a whole program for what that looks like.
And
at least once a week. I know we're putting stuff out about, you know, calls that we go to, but can say a did you know piece. And that would be helpful for them to learn.
And we could also do it with our own boards because
we talk about it, committee assignments.
Yes.
We have that on our board and we talk about what we do.
Yeah, we do too. We report, but I'm talking about if we had the did you know that those kind of things could also be helpful because if the public doesn't know, sometimes your own commissioners don't know.
Right.
Madam Chair. And then I know that Port St. Lucie and everybody already does this, but, you know, for the people not watching on the live stream right now, right?
We don't have one yet. We want one.
But what we do on our own part, advocating for, because we're a large growing area, whenever I've had multiple times, the developer will come into the office and say, yeah, we're trying to figure out what we want to do with this side piece. It's a community, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, let's offer it to the chief or the fire district. Say, hey, is this a good spot for, you know, emergency services to be located, you know, for future land banking, for future use, whatever that may be. I know we already all kind of do that because I see it. But, you know, to whatever extent we can continue to ask for offsite improvements as well. I'm still trying to get someone to buy us a new fire truck somewhere along the line. But with not having an exaction because that's illegal.
No, he's asked.
Keep it up, James. No worries. The answer is always no unless you ask.
That's right.
What are you willing to do?
I don't think you can ask that.
Well,
there's always room for conversation.
Have we decided as a board that we want to ask to have it investigated to have video of the meetings? Have we decided that?
No. We're just talking. In the city, we don't do Facebook. We do YouTube. We got off Facebook a long time ago.
Oh, I just meant the video for the channel. I guess it would be.
So we video ours. Ours is live in the city.
Ours too.
But we video it and then but it's not live streamed. It's post on.
Ours is live streamed.
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Because a lot of other cities use YouTube as opposed to Facebook. So we've gone to the YouTube channel.
We didn't use Facebook, but we have our own TV channel. And so it's live stream on the TV channel.
Madam Chair, I really like how Port St. Lucie does their YouTube, by the way, so kudos to that. You guys have a live streaming channel. Like it's like 24 hours a day live, and it's just broadcasting on YouTube. So I don't live in Port St. Lucie, so if I want to watch the Port St. Lucie channel, it's literally on YouTube live, not just clips, but live. I think Fort Pierce posts the live on the website.
On our website.
However, you know, it's much more convenient. I go on my TV
and watch
it right there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been trying to get Eric to do it at the county, but they seem to think there's some sort of closed captioning error, which I disagree as well. Yeah, I mean, YouTube auto captions anyways. So I maybe that's a discussion I'll have at the next county commission meeting just to throw it out there so that way I'm not doing anything weird on this board. But, I like the way Port St. Lucie does it. I would like to see videos of the meeting. They're very brief. I mean, there's never usually anything super controversial on the board. And, you know, people like to see what we're doing. A lot of people don't even know this board exists.
No, that's right.
And then on top of that, I would agree. I don't think it needs to be live streamed to Facebook because that just kind of invites naysayers. But it would be nice if it was live streamed to YouTube. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's more serious.
Right.
And I think that's an easier entry than to have like what does Fort Pierce use? Like, it's kind of a weird named video platform you guys use. It's like SwagNet or something.
SwagIt.
I'm not sure. I think that implementing a YouTube live stream is much easier.
I agree.
And potentially free. Yeah. So.
Thank you. So 100% in terms of getting the information out there to the residents. That's something that I had previously months ago, probably actually last budget cycle, quite frankly. We were at the end of it. When we did our community survey for the county, the results came back that 68% of residents in St. Lucie County get their news and information from Facebook. 68. Mic drop. Yep. 68%. Like, that is way higher than I would have ever anticipated. So I do think we need to take an aggressive, almost marketing stance, if you will, in terms of putting out the information, little short. Have a semi-professional over here. What is the magic 30-second clip? Whatever it is, you know, but getting out that information. Commissioner Leonard, I think the first 2 years I also tried for the reduction as well, even as minute as it would have been. However, tenure gets a little, you get different thoughts and ideas. And so, because we know sometimes the message that gets out there is that our taxes would be cheaper if, you know, the fire district didn't exist. However, then City of Port St. Lucie, City of Fort Pierce, and St. Lucie County all have to now create fire departments. So I don't get that thought process. And so what I would say, right? Yeah, we're stuck at that 3 mils. I get it. We get beat up. We all get beat up about it, right? But when did we start with 3 mils? Can someone tell me roughly?
2012.
Okay. So why are we not putting out the message that we have ran this district and accommodated this massive growth? And maintained 3 mils while none of us other municipalities have been able to manage to do that. So I think that speaks to how we are handling our resources. Furthermore, Mark Gotz used to be on this board, from my understanding. I don't know how long ago. Mark Gotz?
Yes.
Yep. I think he was a governor's appointee. And again, it's my understanding that, and you know, Mr. Gotz is a big naysayer about budgets and let's go in and take a look. And it's my understanding that he actually sent a letter to the governor complimenting our budget, that this was the model. Yes, so these are all the things that we need to be putting out there. Commissioner Leonard, you're absolutely right. No one understands how much things cost. We all live in our own bubble, but we have to get this information out to them.
100% agree with you. And Madam Chair, if I could echo what Jamie Fowler is saying, I mean, that's education is power, and information is key. And the more everyone's informed, we're not hiding anything. None of us are hiding anything, but people have no idea. And yeah, but thank you. And Madam Chair, you going out there, you're talking to 300 or 500 people at a time. That is important. You're in public with people, you're in front of everybody. And yet, when they get it, they hear it right out of your mouth, they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if we don't educate people, we're gonna consistently have an uphill battle.
So Taylor is our new public relations person, and she's really good with social media. So that's one of the things we started working on. I don't know if you want to talk about it, Chief Gonzalez.
Does she have another name?
Yeah, Madam.
Taylor, what?
Peyton.
And Peyton. Since she's been here, she's been engrossed in our annual report, so wrapping that up, so hopefully we'll start getting her on.
All right,
well,
Madam Chair.
It's our new PIO?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, that's our new PIO, okay.
Madam Chair, Board. Now, that's just what I wanted to say is when we brought in Taylor as the PIO, we changed up the job description a little bit, and that was her main focus, is to be that face, to be able to educate the community on everything that the fire district has to offer, everything from, you know, car seat installs to what do I do with my sharps that are sitting at my home, things like that. Also, you know, how much does a fire truck cost? How much does a rescue truck cost? And right now she's been engrossed with that annual report. You know, she had a very short period of time to do a lot, and she's wrapping that up. And as soon as she's done with that, that is the goal, to start educating the community in the fire district and exactly what it is that we have to offer this community and how much it costs to run the community or run this district to be able to serve the community. And that is her goal. That is her main focus, is to be that face and to be able to educate. So her job description did get changed up a little bit to make sure that that was her main focus.
Great. Madam Chair, real quick, Tim, I heard you say earlier you have the 5-year that you're going to send out to everybody. Is that correct?
Yes, I updated the 5-year plan this morning just in case it came up at today's
session. Does that illustrate how many firefighters we're anticipated to have over the next half decade?
We haven't added the personnel piece to it yet. This is strictly the infrastructure.
Just the infrastructure piece?
Yeah.
You can assume, what, 25 to 27 firefighters per station?
Yeah, and what I was working on before today's meeting started was an average cost per a firehouse, including utilities and the prorated insurance and everything, to come up with, you know, the plug-in for your basic fire station, the impact.
And once 19 and once 19 comes online, we're going to have how many firefighters?
Close to 450.
Close to 450. So we can assume another 525. So you're close to 600 full-time staff by the time we get the other three built and over the next 5 years?
We're going to come close to 600 when we bring on this 25. We got 25 and a hopper right now to come on board right before we open up station 19. And yeah, so and you're right, Commissioner Leonard, it's 25 to 27. Station 19, we are going to have a ladder truck and an engine at that station, so it's going to have two more personnel in it. But yeah.
Can't wait to get that built.
So right now we're about 530 firefighters or so.
Got it. So, thank you, Chief.
So we used to have a graphic, too, about how many we had over the course of, how many we've built up to in terms of firefighters over the course of certain amount of years.
When it went up in 2008
or something. Yeah, remember how we were stuck for a few year period of time with the same number and still working hard and serving the public? So it'd be cool to have that graph too.
No doubt. Madam Chair, I think when I came on board, we were just coming out of the hiring freeze. I think you guys had a hiring freeze for almost a decade.
We had a hiring freeze.
Am I correct when I say that?
2008 to 2012, and then we started.
Yeah, then we started.
So 4 years, okay.
Remember when we first got the Steve Grant, we had 24 at that time. It's good to have all that data just to show the progression. But Commissioner Leonard, so yeah, I asked for that. We have that projection of, you know, what we're going to need in terms of rolling stock and equipment things over the next 5 years at our mid-year review.
Yeah, I think that's going to be amazing. We get that information. It's going to, I think it's going to be eye-opening, because once you see it on paper, we can talk about it all you want. When you see it on paper and those big numbers, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything else? Anyone wants to discuss?
I'm good.
All right, everyone good?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Painless, but informative.